The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
It's time to go to the movies with Matt Olean. And Matt, this week it's the blockbuster of all time now, right?
The biggest opening weekend in movie history, Avengers Endgame. Doug, they've been building this film up for years. And if you've seen the other Marvel films, I have to really credit the screenwriters and the production people. They have kept the secret so tightly with what's going to happen in this film that I was still surprised three or four times in this movie. But they have done such a good job with the buildup of the various storylines, of the various characters, to keep them making sense. Some things don't make sense in other franchises when we start getting into flashbacks and whatnot. They have really done a great job with this. Now, of course, this is the follow-up to Infinity War, which last year, as everyone knows now, spoiler alert, we're all done. It was a year ago. Thanos snaps his fingers and one half of the Earth's population vanishes, including some major characters like Spider-Man, Black Panther, Scarlet Witch, others. They vanish. And so we're left at the start of Endgame with the surviving Avengers, Thor, Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, etc., Black Widow, and that's how the film starts.
Well, the film is titled Avengers Endgame.
So it's the end, Doug, of this current version of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we've been watching for years, starting with Iron Man in 2008, Captain America the First Avenger in 2011, the first Thor film, Ant-Man, various, you know, Doctor Strange. So it's really the culmination of all these characters, Black Panther, coming together with their own backstories and then becoming Avengers. So what you've got is basically the tipping point is, what are we going to do now? How do we find Thanos? How do we kill him? And is there any way to bring back half of the population that we lost? That's the film. Beyond that, I can't talk about much. It's a three-hour film. Let me just tell you that it was worth every minute. This is a phenomenal motion picture. I loved it. The emotion is high. The Russo brothers, Anthony and Joe, direct again. They're kind of the go-to directors for Marvel for big films. Infinity War, Captain America, Winter Soldier, they directed. There's emotion in this film. We care about the characters. It's the ultimate payoff to characters that the audience is invested in. What's going to happen to these characters? We love these characters. And the exposition that happens in the first hour, you know, there's not a lot of action. But we need that to set up what's going to happen. So it feels like a long movie, but it really had to be 3 hours. And they amazingly, I think, pulled it off. There are some scenes that will stick with you for many, many years to come, I think. There's emotion. Downey really digs deep in his characterization of Iron Man. There's other moving scenes. There's going to be tears. There's going to be cheers. There is one particular moment where the whole audience clapped and cheered.
Wow.
And that's a wait-for-it moment that people have been expecting. So this film checked the boxes for me as an Avengers fan, a Marvel fan. It might be the best of all the Marvel films. It certainly has the emotion that people wanted and the payoff that people want.
There's a lot of star power in the
cast
as well. And you mentioned Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. Well, when he was getting started as Iron Man, his career was a bit of a shambles at that time. He'd had this meteoric rise as Chaplin and all this, and then he sort of rediscovers this wonderful character.
He became sober, and he survived, and he was kind of on the way back before Iron Man, but that put him into another stratosphere, and then he had Tropic Thunder that year. So that was really the jumping-off point with his character. But the relationships between the various characters, Thor and Captain America and Black Widow, played by Scarlett Johansson and others, that's really where the greatness of this whole franchise comes through, the bonding of the characters, what they need to do to save the Earth, to kill Thanos. Josh Brolin back again as Thanos, of course. And there are so many characters in this film, Doug. It's hard to keep track of them. There are actors who we thought were not going to return to certain roles that we see return to certain roles. There's a lot of chit-chat about time travel, whether that's going to work. You know, the talking, the planning that leads up to obviously what's going to be a climactic battle in the film, which always happens in all these films, is worth it. It's worth the time to set up. There's really no time to go to the bathroom. You need to go to the bathroom before the film starts because there's really no jumping off point where you're going to miss key plot points. Jeremy Renner comes back as Hawkeye in this film. Let me just say first, Doug, the opening scene of this film is haunting. Again, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it is a haunting scene that really sets the mood that this is a different kind of Marvel film. This is a Marvel film maybe with eyes on Oscar. And from the first scene to the last frame that we see, which are just the first scene is perfect, and the last frame of the film is perfect. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Well, this film is getting that kind of response generally.
Yeah.
So you're not like all alone here.
No.
And a $1.2 billion opening. So do you see a fair amount of the money that went into the film on the screen? I take it the special effects must be extraordinary.
They're extraordinary as always. And again, they had to bring back a lot of big actors who we didn't think we were going to see in this film. So that's something to look out for as well.
Wow. Well, this is a one I want to see, and I'm not a huge Avengers fan, but the build-up here is just irresistible.
I think it pays off in kind of a Lord of the Rings Return of the King type way. The way that third film paid off for Lord of the Rings fans is very similar to how this pays off and how Harry Potter paid off with those Deathly Hallows final films.
Well, let's forego our usual Oscar trivia this week to talk about the passing of somebody who was very important in the film industry and who left us too early.
Yeah, John Singleton, film director, dead of a massive stroke at 51. Tragic, of course. Boys in the Hood, 1991, his first film. He was 23. He is still the youngest director ever nominated for the directing Oscar, first African-American ever nominated for the directing Oscar. And that was a key film of the time because it was coming right after Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee. So again, it's this journey into black urban culture of the time. The Crenshaw District of L.A., Morris Chestnut, Cuba Gooding Jr., Ice Cube were all in the film, gangs. And it really kind of brought people inside the belly of the beast of what it's like to grow up as a black young man in the Crenshaw District of L.A. where there's not a lot of options. And that film really, it demonstrated that. It was a great film, a film that launched a lot of careers. I must say the rest of his career didn't quite live up to that early promise. Kind of like Peter Bogdanovich, Orson Welles, M. Night Shyamalan, who had these amazing debut films, and they never quite equaled those films again. And Singleton did a lot of stuff. You know, he did Too Fast, Too Furious and some other films, but he never quite equaled Boys in the Hood and the impact of that first film. But if that's the only film he would have ever made, we would still remember him.
So we remember John Singleton, passed away at 51. We've been to the movies with Matt O'Lee.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.